There is an example.
If it's raining hard outside, if there's a storm, and somebody tells us it's raining hard, that there's a lot of rain outside, your clothes will get wet, they'll be lost, there'll be cold feeling, but you need to leave, you need to go out. So how will you go into the rain? And the first step we'll take definitely is that we will look into how we can protect ourselves from the rain. So immediately we'll take hold of the umbrella, put on a raincoat, we'll try to take cautious steps so we don't get wet outside. Then we'll go outside so we're saved from the rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Qur'an, in the whole Qur'an, in different ways Allah is addressing the human being. Ya ayyuhan nas, Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah said, in all ways and forms Allah is addressing human beings. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanujtanibu. That, O people of Iman, save yourself, be cautious, be careful. From what? That this time where we have to arrive to, with regards to where we have to reach, it's a very severe time. Like I said to you, the example is raining hard, severely outside. So if it's raining heavily, will somebody want to go out and get wet and drenched, get and spoil his clothes? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way is addressing the human being, that would you like that where there'll be big punishments and severe hardships and forever and ever? Would you like to go there and arrive there after lying and come to me, Allah says? And if you have a jealousy and envy in your heart and you arrive to me in the hereafter, Allah says, and you do sins, commit sins here and then arrive to me after, in the hereafter, you leave salah, leave namaz, and you pass away like that? Would you like that? Or if you're envious of people, malice against people, would you like to do that and then go to Allah after that? Would anybody like to do that? No. If somebody said to me that, would you like to die as a liar? I said, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I'll never die like this, isn't it? No, just like rain. If someone says to me, would you like to go out in the heavy rain? I say, no. So in the same way, if I die as a liar, this is a severe punishment. Somebody will say that, can you die like this? You're hasid, you're envious, and you've got malice of hatred against people. No. I would never do this. Is there anyone, if we ask them, they'd like to die like this? Would they say yes? Anybody who's got a bit of sense, consciousness, would he like that the adab, the big punishments Allah has defined and mentioned the punishments? And we'll say, no, it's okay, khair, it's all right. I'll say, never will I die as a liar. Never will I die as a hasid. Never will I do ghibat and die. Never can I do zina and die. Never will I have that desire to do this. Nor would I prefer to do this. Why? Because if I die as a liar, there'll be big adab in the qabr, in the grave. How can I even take that burden? Just like I spoke to you about and give you the example of rain, that if you go out in the rain, you get wet. So straight away, we protected ourselves, isn't it? Immediately. Straight away, take the umbrella. I don't want to get wet. I'll get a flu. Then I'll have a problem. So Allah Ta'ala is asking us, when Allah is addressing us, He's speaking to us, and He's hopeful that we will take heed, that of all these warnings I'm giving to you in advance, so many points I'm telling you in advance, Allah says. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentioned 20 sins which are attached to the soul of a human being. Allah has told us many sins in the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala is addressing the people of Iman. There's a whole list of the sins of the soul, the nafs, the inner state, that don't die in this way, Allah says. Allah says, beware, a Muslim, if he jokes and mocks another Muslim, Allah says, no, don't do this. Don't die in that state, that if you are mocking somebody, joking against somebody, abusing somebody, you're ridiculing somebody. Yes, because everyone's different. Somebody is lacking something, someone's got more of something. Never look down at someone. Beware, Allah says. That person you're joking against, having a laugh against, Allah says, it could be in your sight he's foolish or looks stupid, looks like a white time waster, mad or crazy. What do you know that close to me is very beloved? Allah says, subhanallah. Yeah, so note this in your diary, point number one today. Allah has given the order that after today, never mock anybody, ridicule anybody. This is the point, isn't it? Why? Allah says, if you die in that state, then severe punishment for that sin. So point number one, Allah says, beware. Beware. Doesn't matter who's in front of you. Old, black, white, mad, crazy, whatever he is. You have no right to mock him and laugh at him. Allah says, what do you know? He could be very beloved to me, that person. And then Allah addresses the women folk. The women, oh women, you also be careful. Beware. How dare you joke against another woman? Joking, we're masters of, oh, look at her face, look at her bent nose, oh, look how she walks, or look how he walks, oh, she fusses too much, and this is all joking against someone, mocking somebody. Mocking. Allah says, beware. Beware. If you should not die in that state with those actions, never should you be in that state that you are laughing against people, joking against people, and you die in that way, you will get severe punishment that you will not be able to even experience. So note this point, that Allah, may He protect us from this sin of ridiculing, laughing and mocking other people, women folk and men. If somebody is something, leave him be. Leave her be, standing, walking straight, bent, crooked, floating in the air, whatever. We have no link with that. Don't talk about anybody. Don't joke against anybody. No way. Oh, look at that person. He's got one eye. His hands are like this. His feet are like this. He walks like this. No way. Don't speak negatively. Allah Ta'ala has told us don't do this. Second point. Don't criticize somebody ongoing. Beware. Don't criticize or speak negatively ongoing against somebody. Allah says this is a very bad action. Two sins are attached to this action. One is that to criticize someone, to keep on pestering somebody, criticize somebody. Allah's given us the hints here that these actions, I'm telling you, just like this rain outside, save yourself, take something so you don't get wet. Allah Ta'ala is saying you're going to die. After dying, you're going to come to me. Beware. Don't come with these sins attached to you. Allah's given us hints. Warning signs. You know, like someone says, brother, it's raining outside, don't go outside, get wet. I said, beware, how dare you? You're going to die, come back to me. Don't come in that state that you joked against people, you mocked people, and how dare you come to me? I'll give you severe punishment, Allah says. And who is Allah addressing? The people of Iman, Amanu, Allah is saying. They have Iman, they believe in Allah, they believe in the Prophet, they pray Salah, they do good deeds, they read Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, that's all on one side, but if you come to me in this state, with these sins, in this condition, you're joking against somebody, you're mocking somebody, then never come to me in that way, Allah says. Don't come to me. What's the second point? Allah says, don't criticize someone. This is our habit, isn't it? Criticizing people, looking down at people, because we live in this society, amongst people, we meet people, speak to people. This is such a common sin, and so we do ibadah, hajj, and umrah, we read Quran. But these things, we say, it's a minor. Mocking someone, you pray salah, leave the masjid, you prayed in jamaat, you're sat, you've done ta'lim, education, you leave the masjid. Soon as you leave the door of the masjid, oh, look at that person. Oh, yari, he's always looking like that. We're talking to another person, we're laughing at that person, we're looking at each other, laughing in our face. Yeah? If, for example, if we experience this for a while, then let's see what happens today, yeah? Quietly, what are people doing today? Just to correct yourself, that is this what's happening in society? That Allah Ta'ala, what He says is always haq, always truth. Because these have become habits in our lives. These actions, negative ones, have become habits. And some things come out of our life, which is the ruh, the soul of our life, that Allah Ta'ala mentioned. Allah says, the ruh of ibadah has come out of our bodies. Yes, soon as we are free from ibadah, we're criticizing someone, pestering him. Oh, I've even seen people that Imam Sahib, who we read Salah behind, I'm not speaking about this masjid, but other masjids as well, that people who pray Salah behind an Imam, I've seen it commonly, after Salah, when he leaves, then they criticize, oh, look at Mulana Sahib, look at him, look at him. And even maybe the person who leads the Salah, he'll be criticizing against others. Allah says, beware, I don't need this namaz from you, Salah. Allah says, if you should not come to me in this state, there'll be severe punishments in the grave. And in the hereafter. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istanibu, Allah says, be safe. Just like save yourself, protect yourself from the rain or spoil yourself, your clothes. Allah says, save yourself from these sins. Don't come to me in this way. Don't come to me in this way. To criticize, especially in the women folk. And criticizing is such a severe sin that you won't feel the pain if someone struck you or swiped you with a sword more than if someone criticizes you and puts you down, keeps on putting you down. You'll feel that, how can I take revenge on this person? You can't even give the answer. Some people who are critics, you can't even reply to them. Especially in the women folk, don't even ask. They do it so cleverly. Yeah, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, and other relatives, and mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law. Oh, Allah, protect, don't even ask. Allah Ta'ala says, don't you want to die? Are you not going to die one day? You sit down, you got tasbihs in your hands, and you're doing these actions. And the next point, summarizing. To do what? To give titles to people. Oh, this person. Oh, you bad person. Oh, you black person. Oh, darky. Oh, hook this. Oh, person from here. Oh, you from there. Somebody's got a shop, then name him after a shop. Oh, meat man. Oh, sweet shop man. Oh, come here. Come here. You know, the calling, giving people nicknames. Nicknames. Isn't this common in our society? Allah's grabbed this as a sin. Allah says, this is not a minor action. This is a big sin. Kabira sin. To give a nickname, title to someone and to mock him with that title and nickname. If you want to give a title, give a good title, which is a real title. The original title is a mu'min there, he's a believer. Yeah, call him as a mu'min. Oh, mu'min, come here. Give him a good name. Something good to feel about. Such beautiful Islamic names. Call him with that name. Give him good titles, good laqab. This sahib, that sahib, that sahib. Nicely, carefully pray salah. He's pious. He's good, he's upright, he does the work of the deen. With that connection, call him. Yeah, call him with a good title. Every man, call him with a respect. If he's older, call him sahib. If he's younger, mia. No, come here, quickly. We see so commonly with the kids, we call him with titles. Nicknames, we call him out. Then whatever is lacking in that child, we'll ascribe that nickname and call that child. Oh, big ears. Or big this, or big that, or small this, or small that. We'll give them titles on their features. Especially kids. Allah is so kareem and merciful how He sees us. And inside was what? Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Quran. The guidance that you are committing a big sin, O foolish man. You are destroying your salah. There are big punishments awaiting you when you give nicknames and bad titles to people. Calling people names, criticizing them, mocking them. Big sins. Then next point, fourth point, Allah mentions another sin. So criticizing, nicknames and titles after that. Allah says, tajassus. Bad thoughts, negative thoughts, suspicion, harboring bad thoughts about people. So common. It's a must. Champions we are of this sin. What's this sin? Evil thoughts. Oh, you know he said this to that person? After hearing that, then going, mentioning that to other people, Chinese whispers. Did you hear what he said? Did you confirm this? Did you have dalil for this? No. He said it. So he must be right. He must have said this. No, that woman said this. In homes there are fights and fitan and quarrels and disputes and friends and relatives outside, inside society. Evil, harboring evil thoughts and spreading these thoughts. Spreading these rumors. Today we speak. Oh, I don't have barakah in my life. In my salah, there's no barakah. I do ibadat. I do tasbihs. I do dhikr. Hazrat, there's no blessings in my home. Hazrat, there's nothing in my life. Why is there illness in my home? Because these sins, we don't take them seriously. I say by Allah, from morning to night, Allah said these are kabira sins. We openly commit these sins. Then where will the barakah come from? Where will all the rahmas of Allah come from? Where will the fadail come? Illnesses, problems, difficulties. And then we see that we are those who do ibadah. We worship Allah. Allah has given us a mirror. When you look at yourself in the mirror, first look in front of this mirror. That do you have these defects inside your heart and soul and nafs? These actions will destroy you. They destroy your salah. They are burning you inside. Ijtanibu, Allah says, save yourself. Don't come to me in this state, in this dirty state. Don't die and go in your grave. Like we said, don't go in the rain, you'll get wet. Allah says, beware, don't commit these sins. Don't die in this state. Don't give nicknames to people. Don't criticize. Don't harbor evil thoughts, bad thoughts. No, he said this about me. He must have said this, even though he said nothing. And then we sit and frown. Assalamu alaikum. What? Why is he not saying salam to me nicely today? Happens, isn't it? Why? Was what's in his mind? Oh, this brother, he went to my shop, he's backbited against me, and he spoke bad against me. He's got no proof. He hasn't said anything. He said nothing about against you. Whatever. You say, is this a way of replying to the greeting? That's it. Don't speak to me. But I haven't said anything to you, brother. What's the problem? This is called harboring evil thoughts. And if you are upset, you should never be upset with someone unless totally, 100%, you can confirm with proof that he has said this. When we do this, brothers, will we implement on these points? Yes, this is ibadah. This is worship. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. If He gives us tawfiq to do physical ibadah, then this is the real ibadah. Our batin should be clean. Islam's ruh, soul, is the proper actions against with society. So Allah says, don't spread rumors or harbor bad thoughts. And don't have suspicion against people. Another sin. لا تجسسوا, Allah says in the Quran. Curiosity. Being curious and interfering. Yes, so we're walking and our ears are pricked. What are these brothers saying? Let me put the volume up so I can hear, and then go and I'll spread what they're talking about to other people. This is called tajassus. Listening, spying, hearing what's in his home, what she's saying. These are the problems in his home. Two brothers are speaking about some, and standing nearby and listening. Get closer. Let me hear what they're speaking about so I can go and spread it. Imagine. You've done big ibadah and you don't commit sins. La tajassasu. How dare you do these actions in society? You'll get a severe punishment, Allah Ta'ala says. Severe punishment. This is so common. Somebody listening to someone's phone call, looking in someone's diary, looking at someone's messages on his phone, and spreading the messages and looking at what somebody's doing so you can tell other people. This is sin. Husband and wife, they argue over this. Looking at his telephone, her telephone. Oh, maybe my husband rings another woman. Or he's speaking to another person. Or when she hears the noise. Oh, there's some issue here. Due to this suspicion, there's divorces, arguments, quarrels. No, leave it to Allah. If Allah has prevented us, then definitely there's hikmah. Then don't. Allah says, just bother about your own affairs. Come, pray Salah, leave the masjid. Doesn't matter who's saying what, doing what. No, he said this, she said this. Listening, these two men were speaking. Definitely they're speaking about me. These two women are speaking to each other. And as we're walking past, stop nearby. Let's listen. Oh, she got married. Has that happened to this person? Or this has happened? Mind your own business. Total destruction. A person destroys his ibadah when he interferes and pokes his nose in other people's affairs. Allah says, how dare you come to me in this state? If you come like this and you have these defects, get rid of them. Next defect Allah has mentioned. Next defect. Ghibat, backbiting. Don't backbite against other people. Backbiting. Which is what? It is worse, bigger, worse than zina. Such a big punishment for backbiting, Allahu Akbar, that we cannot imagine. Backbiting, a person who backbites, he doesn't get forgiven for his sin. He doesn't know what is backbiting. To us, it's such an easy thing, soft as butter, that to speak against somebody behind his back, to say something that if you were to say in front of his face, he would not like it. That's the definition of backbiting. Simple definition. To speak of somebody away from that person, if he heard it, he wouldn't like him. We say, no. This is a fact though. But that's backbiting. If this is a fact, what you're saying about that person behind his back, you were to say in front of his face, wouldn't he dislike it? Of course he'd dislike it. If that's not present within his life, then that's a worse sin. Then that is slander. That's even worse. Even worse punishment. So don't justify backbiting by saying that what I'm saying about that person is a fact. Doesn't matter. It's backbiting. Allah's mentioned this sin. That this sin is such that when a person backbites, he is consuming the flesh of his real brother. He is eating the flesh of his real brother. This is the sin. Backbiting. So if a person's eating the flesh of his brother and he's eating that all the time, where will his salah go? Where will his prostration go? Where will his sujood go? If he's got hasad in his heart for somebody, where will his sujood go? If Allah is saying that he is like a person who is eating his dead brother's flesh. Dead brother's flesh. That's the sin. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from these sins. Amen. Allah Ta'ala says, beware, don't come to me in this state after death. Then further. In the Quran, Allah says further, if you don't take heed from these warnings I'm explaining to you, and you don't improve yourself and protect yourself and stop yourself, then you will be such a big zalim, and you will wake up as a zalim thereafter. فَأُولَيْكُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Who are the zalim? The most sinful person who does too many sins is the zalim. What will be our, where will we go? We're alive still now. Allah has given us this message, my friends. So when this message has come to us, if someone is telling us that it's raining, what do? We take protection. We try to save ourselves from the rain, don't we? So if Allah is telling us all these negative sins, then what should we do? Try to save ourselves. Obvious, isn't it? Allah is saying that if you don't protect yourself, if you don't listen to me and take heed, and you don't adopt a cautious style from now on, then you will have a very bad hereafter. Very bad consequences. This is another aspect of life which Allah Ta'ala is showing to us. Another aspect of deen. This is a big part of deen. Social intercourse. One is spiritual fasting, salah, hajj. We are very familiar with ibadat. But this factor of social intercourse, Allah says, have you ever accepted or considered it as ibadah? Okay, you do spiritual ibadah, what about all these actions? These sins, where have these gone? What will be your hal, my hal? Okay, fine. We know how to pray salah, we'll get thawab. Okay, we fast, we'll get thawab for hajj, fine. But when we go to the rafter, first we'll have to account for these sins. So now me and you, can we even take for a split second, will we be able to bear Jahannam? No, Allah says these sins will be extinguished in Jahannam. Salah, you'll get the thawab, fine, you'll get in Jannah, you'll get eventually. But how will you account for these sins? So what's the benefit? We do so much ibadat, even then, despite that, we're going to Jahannam. All night long we read Quran, Tilawat, and then we're still going to hell. After doing Umrah Hajj, we're still going to hell. After making so much effort, Ramadan's coming. All Ramadan will keep fast and we're still going to Jahannam. Totally not, Allah says. The other aspect of life is this, that we need to save ourselves from these sins. Social aspect sins. Clean yourselves. Wash yourselves. Purify yourselves. What a beautiful dua. Rasulullah SAW used to recite the dua. The Allah Ta'ala, please Allah, my sins and in me. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi SAW taught us this dua. That please make me so far from my sins, from the sins that are in me, as far as the gap between east and west. And Allah, purify my heart so much. From the sins, Allah, purify my heart like you would with water and ice. Just like there's a dirty stained cloth, when it's washed and it becomes white, when the white cloth becomes stained and dirty, as soon as you make it pure from all the stains and dirt, Allah, make my heart free from the stains of the sins as well. Purify my heart. This is the glory of the mu'min. Have salah and save yourself from the sins. Have hajj and prevent yourself from doing sin. And read Quran, but prevent yourself from these sins. What nur and light will come into you, and you will wander around with the nur, alhamdulillah. Make this has become a habit for us, these sins, because we have not paid attention to these sins. We are just running after ibadah, 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 alhamdulillah. But these ibadat will not save us from the punishment. Salah will not save you from the punishment of ghibat, backbiting. No, it won't. One salah will not save you from the punishment of backbiting, because the punishment of backbiting is separate. If you've taken the rights of people and done dhulam, then your salah will not save you from that. Rather, that person who's the victim will take your salah. So the real crux of the matter is this with the Sufis. The people who are concerned, they implement more on the rights actions that we don't want to commit the sins of the batin, the soul. Five times salah, we pray. We'll implement the faraid. If we can't pray tahajjud, don't pray. If you can't pray shirat, don't pray. If you can't do thousands of umrahs, don't do them. One hajj is enough, alhamdulillah, in your life. One hajj is enough. Nawafil prayer, fasting is not necessary. Nobody will ask you. Lengthy khatams of Quran, not necessary. Nobody will ask you. But you will definitely be asked that, did you backbite against this person and why did you do this? Why did you consume his wealth? Why did you have hasad against and hatred and malice against this person? So we learn today, we need to make more effort, spend time more on saving ourselves from those sins over and above this extra ibadah. And that's what the Sufi Hazrat make us practice. The Sufis, Khankas, practice on the rights of society. Take lying out, take hasad out, take anger out. Wasteful talk, take it out of your life. Criticizing people, mocking people, giving nicknames to people. From within the depths of the heart, the sins should come out. After that, ibadat you're doing. If you can do more ibadah after becoming pure, then that will give you the benefit, and it won't if you don't purify your heart first. So the pious elders have said regularly, you should try to implement the faraid, fulfill the faraid. After faraid, go to the rights of society, the rights sins that we are committing, eliminate them. Otherwise, the sins of the rights of people will eliminate your ibadah. That the punishment of the liar in the grave will not save him from any other punishment. The azab of backbiting, your deeds will not save you. The Prophet ﷺ was walking and he saw azab in the graves. For what? Tell us, O Prophet of Allah. Why are they being punished in the grave? Rasulullah ﷺ said that he used to gossip monger and backbite. That's what he's being punished for. Tell me. And this is the generation of the Prophet ﷺ when that person is punished. And here the Quran is saying, save yourself from these sins. Take these sins out of your lives. And to take them out of your heart, how can we take backbiting out? This has been ingrained in our hearts for years. Our hearts are black and they're ingrained and sealed. And the Quran says you'll be punished. That if you go into the grave with backbiting, you're going to Jannah. What's the point of doing years of ibadah and you're still going to hellfire? So Allah Ta'ala gives the cure, the solution in the Quran. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So now the cure's coming. The saving action's coming. If you want to be saved, just like save yourself from the rain. Save. How can I be saved from the rain? Here, take the umbrella, brother. Take the umbrella. Open the umbrella. Yes, and you'll save yourself in your clothes. Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Otherwise, I'd have got wet. So Allah is saying, all these sins, there'll be a bad scene. A bad scene. Allah says, come. I'll save you from the bad scene. Subhanallah. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What great merciful Allah Ta'ala. So merciful. We can't make the excuse in thereafter. Allah didn't know. Allah didn't understand. I didn't have the knowledge. Do you not have the knowledge now? Don't you have to understand now? Even the children here understand that backbiting is a bad action, lying is a bad action. Yes, so the real genuine actions of ours in our life should be to eliminate. We book the Umrah seats, all the seats for Ramadan are sold. Yes, our nafs, our desires-based desires, hand it over to a wali Allah, then see how you'll go on Umrah, he'll make you do Umrah in a proper way. Yes, don't go to the Shaykh and speak about Umrah. No. He'll tell you that. Tell him you do Umrah. I'll tell you we bought tickets, flights are booked for Umrah. I'm going doing Ibadah. We think that's it. I've reached. I'll do one tawaf, and the people whose haq I've eaten, his haq will be forgiven. And I'll put a flower of Umrah onto my neck and say, "I've come." But who's told you that after tawaf you've done the rights you've accepted of people, they'll be forgiven? Who told you this? Will the rights that you've broken of society be forgiven after one tawaf? No. No, the friends of Allah don't run into these tricks and games. They're not satisfied. He's done this many umrahs, this many. No, the real point that the friends of Allah look towards, that they stand up against, that this man's made so much effort for leaving lying to take out hasad from his life. He's done so much effort. Definitely book the umrah ticket, but do one action before you do that. Is crush your desires, control your desires, go to a friend of Allah, a sheikh, and sign with him on a piece of paper. Here's your sheet, please sign for me, can I go for umrah? If he signs and says, I swear by Allah, on your every footstep you'll get thawab on the umrah. I swear by Allah. Your umrah will be something different. Something unimaginable. So, that umrah will be totally something else. That situation will be something else. So the Quran tells us this as well. That if you want to be saved from this sin and save your in your life to prevent this thing, then listen carefully. Will everybody do this? Will you keep on selling yourselves in the rains? Will you wear the uniform? Yes, we'll have to do this. Otherwise the hisab will come and death will come very soon, my son, very soon. Yes, because Bolton Hospital is very close. And with a minute, the ambulance will arrive to your pavement. Oh, pick him up, take him away. Take him away. Death will come very quickly. Very quickly. So why don't we prepare? Allah Ta'ala asks, why don't we pray? So listen, how to be saved. All sins have been mentioned. And Allah said, how do you protect yourself? Everyone sat here, the respected scholars are here, they know. They are aware. What has Allah Ta'ala said? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. First step, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا. O people of Iman, the things I'm telling you, save yourself from these sins. It's a severe rain. Take the umbrella, cover yourself. Maut is coming, death is coming. These things that I'm telling you, they are severe sins and they will give you severe punishments in your graves and spoil your faces. These things Allah Ta'ala is saying, I'm telling you. Then Allah says further, in the end Allah says, how can you be saved? Wattaqullah. Wattaqullah. To be saved from these sins, you'll have to do one action. What is the action? Is in your heart, you have to create the awareness of your Rabb. Subhanallah. These sins will never come out of your life until and unless Allah's khawf doesn't come into your heart. Allah's fear doesn't come into your heart. Never will you leave these sins. Never. Lying, you'll speak when you are not afraid of Allah. You'll consume somebody's wealth when you're not afraid of Allah. Inside you, all the sins, external sins, a person doesn't do. Why? Or what will he say? He won't drink alcohol. What will people say? He won't go to the pub. He won't gamble. Why? Oh, that person, if he sees me, what will he say? If my wife finds out, what will happen? This has happened. He won't steal. Please see me, what will happen? He won't park the car wrongfully. If the traffic warden comes, he'll give me a fine. How much fear we have? Yes, because it's external, it can be seen. But inside, those things are buried inside us. Allah says, for that, you should be even more scared. And fear who? Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If Allah's fear comes into you, just like you don't park incorrectly due to fear of the traffic warden, even though you can't see the traffic warden, even now, has any one of you parked outside on W? No. He might come after. He might come after and give the fine. Yeah, he might come in the night. Even if the policeman's sleeping, he might not see your car, but you're scared. You won't park wrongfully. No, he might come. The traffic warden give me a ticket. £40 is the fine. But look for the hereafter. If you lie, you've never thought Allah knows, and you're still lying. And the punishment, Allahu Akbar, but cannot imagine what is the punishment. Hasad, envy, and malice. Do you know what is this punishment for malice? If you're angry, do you know the punishment for anger? If you backbite, do you know what is the punishment for backbiting? Why? We don't ever think, because we don't have fear of Allah. Allah, we think, is not watching us. We don't think Allah exists. No one's going to ask us. Allah says, these should be your feeling inside. When your fear of Allah inside you, soon as Allah's fear will come inside you, then first and foremost, the sign of Allah's fear inside you is that the inner sins will be burnt and extinguished and eliminated. Subhanallah. More important than externally worrying about what people will say, worry about your inside. So you'll only leave the sins inside. Like, just like you won't park the car on the yellow line or when you're near a meter and it's night time. You know, if you park in front of the meter, no one's going to see. But the person who's inside is clean, he won't park the car. He's not worried about the police. Even then he will fear Allah, that in case I do something wrong, that Allah will be unhappy, displeased. Okay, it's not a policeman, but Allah will be unhappy. Then why did you do an action against the law? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you want to be a human being like this? This is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Let's become like this. That's it. This is what we call mu'min. Definition of mu'min. This is what we call iman. This is Haji Saab. This is called Umru. You know Umru? The person who's gone Umrah. Namazi, the person who prays Salah. This is the definition. This is that glory of that person. And for this, this is what we call Wali Allah. This is what we call Kutub. This is what we call Abdal. The titles of Wali. These are the ghaus. They don't have horns. They're hidden. They're hidden. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, walis of Allah. There must be satir walis of Allah. Allah has hidden them. Why? Why? The reason for that is why? Because that does anybody want to expose his beloved in the dunya? Do you want somebody to see your wife? Put the parda on, wife. Put your face down. You don't want some other man to see the beauty of your wife, Husn. You don't, do you? You don't want anyone to look at, glare at your mahbub. So why does Allah Ta'ala want that this is my wali, my friend, my beloved, and the people of the world know him and appreciate him and are aware of him? No. Allah hides that person. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala hides his walis. That's it. They are for me and I'm for them. Allah says they are for me and I'm for them. They love me and I love them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Thousands of people. There are many walis amongst you sat here, mashallah. Hidden. Hidden. Nobody knows who you are. So wali is that person who implements these points of today. But they're hidden. They're hidden. And his desire Allah Ta'ala also hides. Just like Allah hides the reality of the wali, he doesn't want to be exposed. He doesn't want people to know. And how does Allah hide his desires? That he doesn't have yaqeen that he's a friend of Allah. Subhanallah. If someone says he's a wali, he says, oh yaar, don't joke with me, I'm sinful. I'm not a wali. If I say to somebody, you're a wali, you say, please for the sake of Allah, no, I'm sinful. He will run away. He doesn't want to be called a wali. He'll run away. He doesn't want recognition. He doesn't want reverence. And the liar who's not a wali, he says, oh yeah, yeah, please accept me. Yeah, yeah, I'm the big man. I'm a big shot. Big titles after his name and happiness and smiling. Rather, if you don't call him wali, then he'll get angry. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. He'll get angry. Why don't you accept me as wali Allah? Why don't you respect me? Why don't you give me these titles? He'll say. Why don't you praise me like this amongst other people? These are the liars. And the honest people, the true walis, they say, you're a good person. Oh, no, 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 how can I be wali? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. He'll run from the gathering. He'll hide. He won't appear. He doesn't want to be praised. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has inserted into the heart the desire, the passion. So you hide, I am hidden, you also hide. Subhanallah. Allah says, I will expose you in the hereafter when the dunya will see you and their jaws will drop that the friend of Allah has come. Subhanallah. What praises, what qualities do the walis of Allah have? These are their qualities. They worked on their inner self. They have no malice, no hatred, no jealousy. They don't consume people's wealth. They don't think badly about people. They don't spy on people. They don't backbite against people. They don't put their ears against people's discussions. They don't listen into people's phone conversations. They immerse in their own life. Subhanallah. Small ibadah they do, they're happy. They say, it's too hard. This is enough for me. Allah, accept from me. Allah, I don't want to make you unhappy with my sins. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is Islam. This is Islam, what we're discussing right now. We think Islam, if I don't do 10 Hajj, there's no Islam. If this time I don't go on Umrah in Ramadan, there's no Islam. If I don't spend all Ramadan in Umrah, there's no... If I don't drink the tins of Zamzam, there's no Islam. I'm not a Muslim. What kind of Islam is this? Why are you making life hard for yourself? Why are you making life... True, this is the hardship of the nafs that we should be implementing every day. This is what we should grow. How do we correct it? Allah says, Wattaqullah. Bring my fear into your heart. My khawf should be generated in your heart. Examples coming in my mind, I'd like to explain to you, to make you understand. MashaAllah, you are intellectual brothers. It's very difficult for me to share my thoughts. I am ignorant, you can say illiterate. I cannot communicate that well, but I'll try. The Sahaba Akram, the noble companions, Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu anhu. Very famous event, you will have read it, heard it, shared it. Great companion. In that generation, that time, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's time, he was a great Sahabi and he was desperate to get up. Now, here I will just tell you my own words, just give you the sort of commentary of the hadith. Everyone's negative, oh, I'm gone, I've lost, munafiq, I'm munafiq, and he came out. And from the other side, he heard the Sahaba, mashallah, the son of the Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was walking. He was the son of the Sahaba. The ray of light, he was coming. And he said, what's happened to Hanzala? Why is he saying this? So he stopped. And he heard his words. The Hanzala, why are you saying these words to yourself? What's happened to you? What's the problem? Hazrat Hanzala said, don't ask me, Siddiq. I'm destroyed. I've lost everything. What's the problem? What's happened? He said, I've become a munafiq. Hypocrite. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq heard this. When he heard the word, he said, Subhanallah. How can this be you? How can you be a munafiq? How can this have occurred to you? How can you understand and say that you are a munafiq? Hazrat Hanzala said that, what can I say to you? He said, tell me, what's the problem? He said that when I saw, I've experienced that when I'm in the court, in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm listening to him, then at that time my heart is open and I'm so strong, I feel like I'm wandering in Jannah, in paradise. I'm so strong in Iman, so passionate, and I'm benefiting. But as soon as I leave the company of the Prophet, I go to my wife, kids, my situation changes. That feeling, emotion is lost. And I don't feel that same feeling. Says, this is nifaq, I'm a hypocrite. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard this, great Sahabi. Imagine our situation, tazkiyah, tafsiyah, purification. We think we are big men. I don't need to do tazkiyah. I don't need to clean my heart. I'm a big man, big Muslim, wali Allah. And look at Abu Bakr Siddiq. Is there any greater Muslim than him? He is telling his story, alhamdulillah, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq, when upset, say subhanallah. He said, you step back. Let me think about myself. What great Sahaba they were. They had fear of Allah. This is a mu'min. Subhanallah. He was upset. He said, alhamdulillah, you step back. What about me? He was worried about himself. Alhamdulillah, one minute. Stop. If this is the case with you, then Siddiq is also munafiq. What will happen to me? He started crying. He was upset and worried. Imagine the status of these great people. We say today, I don't have no need of a sheikh and purification and tazkiyah. I don't need taqwa. I don't need tazkiyah. I don't need this and that. If those great sahaba, then what should we do? So here's the next point now. The pious predecessors have said a beautiful commentary. Where should we go? Abu Bakr said, they said, go, go, let's go. We can only go to one person. Let's go to our sheikh. Say, subhanallah, sheikh was alive. Where should the marid go? The student should go to the sheikh. So both sahabi went to the court of the Prophet and both upset. The Prophet said, what's happened to them? What's happened to you? What's the problem? What's the problem? So Sadiq said, Hamdallah will explain. Yes, Hamdallah, what's the problem? Hamdallah, I'm a munafiq, Ya Rasulullah. The same words Abu Bakr Sadiq said, the same he said to his sheikh. This is called funafish sheikh, immersed and total confidence in the sheikh. Rasulullah, he said to him, he said, Subhanallah. Hanzala, what's happened to you? How can you say that you are munafiq, you're hypocrite? What's the problem? What's the reason you're saying this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the reason I feel like this here, when we are with you. And he included Abu Bakr Sadiq in the conversation, that when we are with you in your company, blessed company, in your court, in your presence, our emotions and iman are very high and solid and strong. Our heart is clean and pure, according to their understanding, because they were great companions. But as soon as we leave your company, we pass away from it, go home, then our emotions tumble, our feelings tumble, and we feel that this is nifaq, hypocrisy. We're munafiq, subhanAllah. Allah's Nabi Sallam, subhanAllah. He said, oh my beloved companions, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? This is Allah's hikmah. That this heart Allah has given to you, Allah has given you a heart. This is Allah's hikmah and wisdom. The heart Allah has given to you, qalb. Qalb means changeable. It is something that fluctuates. It doesn't stay in a steady position, steady environment all the time. When you are facing different circumstances, the Prophet said, if you had the same iman that you have, like you are sat in front of me, just like we're sat in the dhikr majlis, we're hearing these points, can our iman like it is now stay the same? No. Soon as you go home, 2-3 swears, kids jumping up and down, you'll speak to your wife, and then the iman will start to decrease and decline. So Allah's hikmah, He has kept this in His hikmah. Why? Subhanallah, that this time when we sat in the majlis, this is haqq Allah we are fulfilling. Hakukala, we are fulfilling Allah's rights. Remembering Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But insan has two hakuk. One is hakukala, one is hakukul ibad. Rights of society. So if the same iman strong was the same, then we would forget our wife and children. We would forget the society and the world would say, leave them and just run to Allah all the time and pray and worship, and your life will be different. But Allah Ta'ala has kept a hikmah. No, you have to live in the world amongst people, that when a person passes after hukuk al-ibad, then he goes down in the dunya, that he is then able to fulfill the rights of society. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. That when you go to your wife and children, you can't be wali Allah ghaus kutab. The Prophet ﷺ, look at his own life when he went home. What were his conditions, circumstances? Azwaj mutara, how he used to speak to them, joking and having a bit of an argument, and there was pain and there was difficulties. Wasn't this the case? It wasn't the prayer mat all the time. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us that how should you control yourself with your heart? The heart is changeable. When you pray to Allah and prostrate, then everything should disappear. Subhanallah. Yes, your everything should change. And when you leave Allah Ta'ala's worship and go to the dunya, then you fulfill the rights of society and you have the strength to do that. And to fulfill the rights of the society should also become ibadah, close to Allah. So this is a big message. So we should get satisfaction. The shaykh said, so Allah says, wattaqullah. Where do you get taqwa from? This is the style of taqwa until qiyamah, the mashayikh will come. Just like the Prophet taught the Sahaba, same way when your batin, soul and heart is dirty, who should you go to? Go to the respected and honorable mashayikh, the sheikhs. Until Qiyamah, only Allah will send them to the earth to do this work of the deen. One thing stops a person is pride. To go to a teacher. When a person is mutakabbir, he says, I'll do it myself. When Allah Ta'ala has made it a law, a principle to attain taqwa, fear of Allah, go to the people of taqwa. That if you want to attain fear of Allah, then go to the people who already have fear of Allah in their hearts. When you arrive to their station and company, then your cure will begin. They will look into your heart, they will see, and the sins will remove from your body. They'll do your purification and your tazkiyah. In the company of the wali Allah, you don't go to learn dhikr, you don't go to learn salah. You don't go to learn the masail of zakat. In the khanka, you don't go to learn the masail. Rather, you go to the khanka to learn how to leave lying, how to leave backbiting, How to leave the sins? This is what we should work hard on all life long. But even today our hal is such that from 100, maybe one person goes to his shaykh, that he goes with the pain, that can you take lying out of me? Can you take backbiting out of me? Can you help me? Wattaqullah, Allah says. That if you want to instill fear of Allah in your heart, look yourselves. That we are broken down people, but tazkiyah environment that we have created, mashallah, the sheet system, the feedback review system, do you fill in those sheets? Tell me. Do you? So when you go to the shaykh, what's the benefit if you don't complete them? So you come to me for this reason, the ilm that I've learned from the pious elders sitting in front of their shoes, due to that ilm, that knowledge that they worked hard on me, so I am also working hard with you. Yes? So I can pass that on so that my sins are removed and yours. That's the point of company. If the lying's the same, backbiting's the same, we do dhikr, and I do this. Dhikr is not the purpose. It doesn't give us the benefit of my Hazrat Sahib used to say that if good deeds you are loving and you are leaving the sins, then consider your dhikr is accepted and accepted. But if you don't have these feelings, then your dhikr is a waste. No benefit is dhikr given to you. No benefit. You're getting thawab, but no benefit, no effect. Okay? So the friends of Allah, when they cast their glance, their merciful glance on the student, that is the effect of the company, the barakah, the blessings. After going there, the company, the student, he gets the good effects. But when you should have this niyyah as a student, when you go to the shaykh company, Allah says himself, that if you have good feelings towards me, Allah says that I will implement the feelings and the thoughts and the intentions that you have. This is my Rabb, I want to do this, I want to do this. The good feelings and good emotions and good intentions, Allah says, I'll repay those intentions with good effects in your life. So if you don't have those good feelings, intentions, I want to go to the shaykh, I want to eliminate my sins. If we don't have, no, I'm not sinful, I'm perfect, I'm good. Then that person's Fir'aun, he's mutakabbir. He's got pride. How can it be that a person doesn't have sins inside when the Quran says, Hadith says, Allah's Nabi says, me saying, the Quran says, save yourself. Then we must have sins inside us. So this is the point, brothers. Just like it's raining and somebody advises you, save yourself with the umbrella. Subhanallah. Then you'll ask him for an overcoat, a raincoat or umbrella. In the same way Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you want to save yourself, then go to my friends, the walis of Allah, the mashayikh ikram, the honorable sheikhs. Assign yourself to them and tell them your defects and your sins. And then whatever they instruct you, follow that path in your life. Follow that path. Allah Ta'ala will give you good news, glad tidings. Inna Allah, Allah Ta'ala, most definitely, verily, what does He do? He forgives that person. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. Allah says, you have this sin, the sins in the batin, in the soul, hidden. Allah says, on this action of yours that you haven't given up, you've assigned yourself, you've accepted, and you had the objective to go to the shaykh, to serve him, to sit there, to go to him, and to take the strictness from him, the firmness from him, the scolding from him. It's not one day lying. Could be years of lying. Takes time to come out. Whatever happens, whatever the shaykh tells you and does, you need to persevere to eliminate your sins. You need to adhere yourself to him. Allah's opened the door. So Allah Ta'ala says, that beloved is me, this action of a student who goes to his teacher, that I forgive all of his sins. Inna Allah, most verily Allah is Tawwabur Rahim. Not only does Allah forgive, Allah says that his effort, his working hard and tawbah, he's trying. Allah says, I'll give him reward as well on top of that. Rahim. I'll give him reward as well. What is that reward? Allah says, I'll show you in Jannah, in paradise. So this is, brothers, the tariqah. And the person who understands this tariqah, alhamdulillah, he should implement this tariqah. And further, if he doesn't implement this method, then he cannot save himself from these sins. If someone says, I want to have an offspring child, but I don't want to get married, I want to have a child after 1 year. Will he have a child? No. What? From rocks or walls? No, you have to get married. That's why Allah has given instruction. You want to be saved from the sins? Then adopt taqwa, bring taqwa into your life. And how do you bring taqwa into your life? Allah has given the example of the sahaba ikram. Go to the shaykh, to the teacher, sit in front of him. You have to go, that these are my sins. And he will help you, assist you to eliminate the sins. This is that silsila of tasawwuf from the first age, from the time of the Prophet, that was tasawwuf. The Prophet was the shaykh, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Alhamdulillah, going to the shaykh was tasawwuf, admitting, doing tazkiyah. Do you think they went to learn salah? Then Muslims got, no, they had the pain and hurt of inside, the nifaq they thought they had inside their hearts. Yes, they couldn't see it. They were praying salah, they were reading Quran, They were doing all the amal deeds, but inside them they felt they had this disease. Immediately they turned to their shaykh. No, I'm sahabi, I'm alim, scholar, good. Abu Bakr Siddiq, I've got this maqam, I'm this and that. He first went and submitted himself because he had fear that may not be that I pass away and present myself to Allah that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. So what answer will I give to Allah then? So my brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the ability to have the effort. This is the right path. This is the right path. And this is how we will succeed, only through this path. Consider yourself weak, faraid are good, but work harder on these defects. Present these defects to a teacher. Scan yourself. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, explained 20 defects of the inner soul, the nafs. There are more than that, but he explained them in depth. Which person is there who can say, without working hard, that he can eliminate these sins? Oh, I read Quran. Oh, I do this ibadah. The sins do not get removed with these ibadah. Subhanallah, sins will be removed when somebody's stick will come. When you will make effort. Our Aqabireen, pious predecessors, made a lot of mujahida, effort. Were they mad? Did they not have aql, wisdom? They wrote kitabs and tafsirs and Qur'an tashri. They didn't say we're forgiven. They said, no. This is the decision of the Qur'an. Go to the teacher, submit yourself and tell him your sins. You cannot eliminate your sins on your own. You cannot. Great Aqabireen, pious predecessors, all of them had their teacher, their sheikh. And Allah Ta'ala until Qiyamah will keep this law and principle and silsila existing. The shaykh, the walis will come to the world and their function is to purify the hearts and the batin. Not external sins, they have no link with Muslim masail. They have one specific unique ulum. Knowledge, such ilm Allah gives to the mashayikh, that is ilm al-ludni, which is the ilm of the internal self. And in their words and their company, such noor comes and reflects that it washes the sins of the student. Their eyesight of the wali has an effect which is thousands of times stronger than other effects. Thousands of times. I don't know what Allah Ta'ala has put, but this is the system from day one. As soon as a student goes, sits with the shaykh, but the niyyah should be clear. Allah says, I know what your intention is and I follow your intention. Not that you're nifaq inside, hypocrite, waswasa, shagayat and complaints and of this, no, I should be this and that. No. Allah says, Alhamdulillah, go to the teacher. Admit your mistakes, your deficiencies, go with the proper niyyah, pray two rakat nafal, salah, that the shaykh who gives the guidance, Allah gives the guidance, Allah forgives. So when you go, present yourself to your teacher with sincerity, clean intention, I want to wash myself, not to learn dhikr. Dhikr is written in kitabs and la ilaha illallah, who doesn't know? Subhanallah reciting, who doesn't know? Alhamdulillah reciting, who doesn't know? You don't go to the shaykh to learn this. This is just an extra bonus that the shaykh gives, the wali Allah gives to you in the form of dhikr, that can give you more promotion. Promotion. But the real benefit from the shaykh is not the dhakir who does dhikr. The real benefit is taken from the student, subhanallah, whose sins are continually being removed and eliminated. He is taking the benefit from the shaykh's company. The real benefit he's taken, the student. Real benefit he's taken, that insan. Allah will say that my wali Allah, this many years he was in the world. Tell me, what benefit do you take from him? Yes, I used to go to him. I used to give him food, give him breakfast. And Allah says, my son, what was this, my creation? This was not your objective. I didn't send you for this objective. The objective to go to your teacher was that you should have cleaned and eliminated your inner sins. Did you ever think, I'll go to my teacher and present my sins, am I cleaning my sins? Shall I present myself, be honest, and press his legs, the Hazrat, please pay attention to me so I can remove my sins. Please pass your focus and attention. Who is the one who makes the effect? Allah. When you go with the right niyyah and adopt the right means and follow the teaching of the shaykh, that he is the means, my teacher. He won't make the effect. He is the means. Then what does Allah Ta'ala do? Through the means of the shaykh, Allah puts the effect that you'll get the benefit from the shaykh. Why? Allah Ta'ala's permission. He doesn't know himself. Such words will come from the shaykh's mouth that immediately rectifies the maladies of the student. The student will say, Hazrat, I had one word from your company and it cured my sin. Hazrat doesn't even know who assisted. Allah assisted. Where did the covering come from? Allah, into the heart of the teacher. It came from his mouth and it purified the heart of the student. Subhanallah. This is the system, the sawwuf. And whoever doesn't do this deed, they are mutakabbir. They don't want to go to a teacher. They have kibar. They will be beaten with the shoes and persecuted. That their kibar will be annihilated and crushed. That you saw a shaykh, a teacher, and you were proud. You did not want to submit yourself. You weren't proud against him. You were proud against me, Allah says. You are proud, maghroor, that you didn't pay attention to your sickness and maladies that you should correct yourself. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. And if I said something maybe you dislike, please, I seek apologies. You are, mashallah, pious and bigger than me. I am the dust on your shoes. And I don't say things like this. Why do I say this? Because I have order from behind. My sheikh, they say these words amongst the people. Subhanallah. So I speak, otherwise I cannot dare. I can, if my hazard did not instruct me, I wouldn't speak in front of you. Yes, inside me I have many defects. How can I speak with you and share with you? That's it. That's the summary, that we want to correct ourselves. We're sailing in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. You do dua for me, I'll do dua for you. But whatever the Quran has told us, that I've learned, we should adopt the company of the sheikhs, the Allah walis Allah, with one ear, not dhikr, just one thing, that may we correct our sins, eliminate them, and whatever path the sheikh prescribes, follow that. Don't follow your opinions and whims and desires. If he says this is how you eliminate your sin, you'll have to do this action, then you have to implement the action. If he says no, you don't need to go to Umrah. Umrah, you're stopping me from Umrah. You're stopping me from Quran. Have yaqeen. This much, he's not stopping you from Umrah, not even the Quran. But this moment in time, you going on Umrah and you reading and doing tafsir of Quran is just like a sick person, and he says, give me halwa. Give me more halwa. Will a sick person eat more halwa? I want to eat halwa. That if he's having a stomach cancer operation, tell me, will halwa give him benefit or loss? Tell me. Give him loss. You'll give him loss. So why do you go towards loss as the cure? Inshallah, when a person's stomach is cured and he's got strength, then the people of his home will cook the halwa and give it to him to eat. So when the sheikh sees you have these defects in your heart and you're cleaned and purified, alhamdulillah, automatically he'll give you a ticket. Go and do hajj. He'll say, go and do hajj, subhanallah. Automatically the sheikh will go and give you a ticket, go and do umrah. And on umrah, do an action that you do dua for me for my forgiveness and present yourself. My husband did this with me. My sheikh said, go, do one action. I don't know what action he's given to me. He said, go. I am severely, Hazrat is saying this to me. I'm severely need, I'm a sinful person. Go for me and do dua for me for death and my death. Go and stand in front of the road, in front of the holy fence, and do dua for me. Brothers, this is a system. Don't do out of your own preference. You're doing what you want, not giving or taking. You hear the names of the walis of Allah, read their books, and we think we are walis of Allah ourselves. Brothers, this is the objective of tazkiyah. Purification, Allah Ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq and capability. Ameen. Recite the Rushan.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Shafi'in usayyin ta'ayasin. Ameen. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Nabiyyil ummi wa azwajihim wa adil mu'minin. وزوجتي وآل بيتي كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا ولا تعتقا اللهم صمتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم دمرهم هما كما صغارًا وياني صغيرًا اللهم دمرهم هما كمارًا وياني صغيرًا اللهم دمرهم هما كمارًا وياني صغيرًا جامع مدرسة بنات فاروقية مانچسٹر سے دو لڑکیوں نے قرآن ختم کیا ہے تو درخواست کی آپ ذات ان کے لیے دعا فرمائیں, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے قرآن کی برکتیں نازل فرمائیں, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے قرآن سے ان کی زندگی کو بہتر فرمائیں, عمل کرنے والی زندگی عطا فرمائیں, قرآن پہ عمل کرنے والی زندگی بنائیں, یا اللہ ان کے ماں باپ کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنائیں, یا اللہ جن معلومات نے کوشش کی ہے اور تعلیم دی میں نے مولا ان کے بھی درجات کو بلند فرمائے, اور اس مدرسے میں اللہ تعالیٰ برکتیں نازل فرمائے, زیادہ سے زیادہ لوگوں کو مستفید ہونے کی اللہ تعالیٰ توفیق نصیب فرمائے. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ اصحابہ ازواجہ ذریاتہ اہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.